Welcome to this Oz Rehab Audio Explainer. In this session, we are going to look at presenteeism at work, exploring why showing up sick may actually be doing more harm than good, and how it impacts workplace rehabilitation. We have all been there at some point. You pop some paracetamol, drag yourself into work, and tell yourself that everything will be fine. But what if that decision is quietly making things worse for you, your team, and the people around you? To understand this, we first need to define what presenteeism actually is. Presenteeism occurs when employees attend work despite being physically or mentally unwell, leaving them unable to perform at their normal capacity. Unlike absenteeism, where an employee is visibly absent, with presenteeism the person is physically there, but their productivity, concentration, overall well-being, and recovery can all suffer significantly. Let us take a closer look at how this behavior manifests in the workplace. Presenteeism happens when employees continue working through illness, injury, fatigue, stress, or other health concerns that compromise their performance. In professional circles, the term is used in two main ways. It can describe the productivity loss associated with poor health, or it can describe the specific behavior of attending work while unwell. Today, we are focusing on presenteeism as a behavior, looking closely at employees who keep working despite experiencing physical pain, fatigue, infection, stress, or mental health challenges. Every workplace seems to have that one employee who never calls in sick. They push through everything because they do not want to fall behind or let their team down. While this is often praised as high dedication, the reality of presenteeism highlights the severe risks of working while sick. Reduced concentration, slower physical recovery, lower productivity, and a higher rate of mistakes can all impact both the employee and the organization. Because the employee is still physically present, this negative impact is very easy to overlook. Many employees genuinely believe that showing up sick is the responsible choice. However, continuing to work when your health is compromised affects decision-making, communication, safety, and physical recovery. Workplace presenteeism is often mistaken for commitment, but attendance alone is never a true measure of performance or well-being. Supporting employee health means recognizing when rest, treatment, or time away from work is the better option for both the individual and the organization. It is also important to recognize that working while sick is not random. Certain groups of workers are far more likely to keep showing up due to financial pressure, workplace expectations, caring responsibilities, or a strong sense of duty. This does not mean they are careless about their health. Rather, it suggests that the workplace culture makes taking an absence feel difficult or risky. There are several worker groups where presenteeism is particularly common. Let us explore these groups, why they feel pressured to work, and their associated risk levels. First, we have older workers, who often have strong attendance habits and lower rates of sick leave usage, presenting a high risk. Women also face a high risk, as they frequently balance professional work with substantial family caring responsibilities. Highly conscientious employees represent another high-risk group. They feel deeply personally responsible for their output and struggle to step away from their duties. Casual or insecure workers face a high risk because they worry about lost income or job insecurity if they take time off. In the healthcare sector, nurses and other healthcare workers show a high risk of presenteeism due to a strong professional duty of care and constant concern about leaving already short-staffed teams unsupported. Allied health professionals are at a medium risk, driven by ongoing client relationships and the feeling that they are difficult to replace. Teachers also present a medium risk because their absence can significantly disrupt students' schedules and place a burden on their colleagues. Finally, employees who work in roles with no backup cover are at a medium risk because they know their workload will simply fall on someone else's shoulders if they are absent. As we can see, presenteeism is often driven by deep responsibility, workplace expectations, and financial pressure, rather than a lack of health awareness. To illustrate this, let us look at a notable Australian case study. Research conducted by Flinders University and published by the Caring Futures Institute in 2022 examined nurse presenteeism in Australia. The study found that nurses with caring responsibilities, as well as those working in public hospitals, were highly likely to work while unwell. Crucially, this behavior was linked to negative outcomes such as patient falls, medication errors, and a poorer overall patient safety culture. For these nurses, the issue was not a lack of education or awareness, but rather systemic pressure. They worried about leaving vulnerable patients unsupported or making an already short-staffed shift even harder for their colleagues. This demonstrates that presenteeism is rarely just a personal choice. It is heavily influenced by the environment in which employees work. While a worker may need time to rest, recover, or seek medical support, a workplace culture that discourages absence can make taking leave feel risky, inconvenient, or guilt-inducing. Factors such as persistent understaffing, excessive workloads, insecure employment, and unclear sick leave policies create powerful pressures to keep working through illness. In some organizations, physical attendance is valued so highly that employees feel compelled to work through pain or infection rather than take the necessary time to recover. A healthy workplace culture, on the other hand, recognizes that recovery is a normal and necessary part of maintaining long-term performance and well-being. It encourages workers to prioritize their health and does not equate taking sick leave with a lack of commitment. Let us break down how specific workplace factors impact employee behavior. Casual employment often creates a fear of losing immediate income. High workloads create a fear of falling behind on projects. A lack of paid sick leave introduces direct financial pressure. A poor organizational culture breeds guilt and anxiety around taking any absence. Even remote work creates a unique pressure to stay visible online. Presenteeism is clearly driven by workplace systems and expectations, not just individual choices. This brings us to the real, often hidden cost of presenteeism. While the cost of an absence is highly visible and easy to measure, the cost of presenteeism is largely hidden. When employees work while sick, they are less focused, take longer to complete basic tasks, and are more likely to make costly mistakes. Over time, this erodes both workplace productivity and overall employee well-being. It also delays physical and mental recovery, which can lead to more serious chronic health concerns and longer periods of reduced performance down the track. So, is presenteeism actually worse than absenteeism? In many cases, yes. Absenteeism creates a clear, visible cost that managers can plan around. Presenteeism is much harder to detect. The employee is physically there but working well below their normal capacity. For chronic illnesses and mental health conditions, the combined cost of lost productivity and delayed recovery may end up costing an organization far more than a short, defined period of sick leave. Let us compare what employers see during sick leave versus what presenteeism actually costs across several key areas. In terms of productivity, working sick leads to reduced output, more errors, and missed deadlines, whereas taking sick leave results in no output, but only during the brief absence. Looking at health outcomes, working sick carries a high risk of worsening symptoms and slowing recovery, while taking sick leave provides the necessary time for rest, treatment, and complete recovery. When we consider the impact on the team, working sick risks spreading infectious illnesses and lowering team morale, whereas taking sick leave causes only short-term operational disruption. Financially, working sick incurs hidden productivity and recovery costs, while sick leave presents visible, easily tracked wage and absence costs. In terms of long-term risk, working sick creates a much greater risk of eventual burnout or extended, unplanned absence, while taking sick leave early minimizes these risks. Finally, the visibility of these costs differs greatly. The costs of working sick are hidden and difficult to measure, while the costs of sick leave are visible and easy to track. To put this in perspective, let us look at some historical data. Research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association in 2003 found that 81% of lost productive time costs among workers with depression came from reduced performance while at work, rather than from absence. The Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, through their publication Australian Family Physician, later cited this research when discussing the profound effects of presenteeism on workers and Australian workplaces. This exposes what we can call the productivity myth. An employee working at half their normal capacity for 10 days may create far more disruption, errors, and backlogs than an employee who takes 2 days of leave and returns fully recovered and ready to work. Strong workplace well-being means recognizing when work is appropriate and when recovery must come first. In recent years, the rise of hybrid and remote work has created a quieter, more insidious form of this behavior, known as digital presenteeism. Employees who once would have taken a formal sick day can now easily log in from home. They might answer messages, attend virtual meetings, or complete urgent tasks while highly unwell. This digital presenteeism is difficult for organizations to notice because managers cannot physically see the signs of illness, pain, or fatigue. It happens because employees feel an intense pressure to remain online, responsive, and visible to prove they are productive and engaged. When expectations are unclear, remote workers stay online to maintain visibility, even when physical rest would support a much faster recovery. This always-on culture makes it incredibly difficult for employees to switch off. Checking emails after hours, responding to messages during leave, and staying connected while unwell blur the boundaries between work and personal life. Over time, these behaviors contribute to remote work burnout and undermine effective workplace fatigue management. While working from home when sick does reduce the risk of spreading infections to colleagues, it does not eliminate the physical need for rest. Continuing to work from a home setup can prolong recovery times, increase cognitive fatigue, and place additional physical strain on the body, particularly if the home workstation is not set up correctly. If we compare traditional presenteeism to digital presenteeism, we see some clear contrasts. Traditional presenteeism involves physically attending the workplace while sick, making it highly visible to colleagues and managers, and carrying a risk of spreading infection. Digital presenteeism involves logging in from home while sick, which is often completely hidden from managers. While it carries less infection risk, recovery is still deeply affected. In the physical workplace, physical presence is expected, whereas in remote work, a constant online presence is expected. Finally, traditional presenteeism is relatively easy to identify, while digital presenteeism often goes completely unnoticed. We must remember that being online does not mean an employee is well. A remote worker may still be slower, less focused, and more prone to mistakes. Proper rest is what supports a fast and safe recovery. For organizations looking for practical support with remote desk setups and reducing physical strain, exploring OzRehab's ergonomics training is a highly effective step. The issue becomes even more complex when we look at the relationship between mental health and presenteeism. With a physical illness, the need for rest is often obvious. With mental health, the path forward is rarely simple. For some individuals, continuing to work provides a valuable routine, social connection, and a sense of purpose, all of which can actively support recovery. For others, the workplace itself may contribute to anxiety, stress, workplace burnout, or depression. The correct approach always depends on the specific person, their unique condition, and the overall workplace environment. Let us look at how work can both support and contribute to mental health. On the positive side, work provides routine and structure, encourages vital social connection, creates a sense of purpose, supports self-confidence and identity, and allows for a gradual, structured recovery for some workers. Conversely, work can contribute to poor mental health if there are excessive workloads and unrealistic demands, workplace bullying or unresolved conflict, poor support from management, high stress leading to burnout, or limited flexibility and psychological safety. For an injured or unwell worker, a workers' compensation general practitioner can assess current capacity. Where appropriate, the doctor may recommend suitable, modified duties instead of treating work capacity as a simple choice between being completely fit or completely unfit. Additionally, a comprehensive workplace health check can be incredibly valuable when fatigue, stress, or health concerns are beginning to affect several employees, or when these issues are becoming difficult for management to identify early. Depression, in particular, is closely linked to presenteeism. It is one of the most common drivers of this behavior. Employees often continue to attend work despite experiencing low energy, poor concentration, sleep disruption, or reduced self-confidence. Because these symptoms are not always visible, depression at work can be very difficult to recognize. Many employees also hesitate to seek support due to the ongoing stigma or fear of being judged, which reinforces the strong connection between mental health and presenteeism. There are several clear warning signs that work may be making an employee's health worse. These include a persistent feeling of dread before starting work, worsening sleep patterns, withdrawal from social interactions with colleagues, a rising rate of errors, or symptoms that noticeably ease on days off but return as soon as the workweek begins. If these signs appear, it is a strong indicator that it is time to seek external support or schedule a workplace health check. Fortunately, employers have a range of practical strategies to reduce presenteeism. Doing so requires more than simply telling employees to take care of themselves. Leave policies, leadership behavior, workload management, and the overall workplace culture all directly influence whether people feel safe stepping away when they are unwell. Employers can support employee well-being through clear expectations and proactive early intervention. The aim here is not to increase unnecessary absences, but to prevent mild illness, stress, or fatigue from escalating into much larger health and productivity problems. There are six key actions employers can take to reduce presenteeism effectively. First, put all sick leave policies in writing. This removes uncertainty and confirms that taking appropriate leave is fully supported. Second, clearly explain leave entitlements to help employees understand their rights and the options available to them. Under Australia's national employment standards, full-time employees receive 10 days of paid personal and carers leave each year, while part-time employees receive a pro rata entitlement based on their ordinary working hours. Third, leaders must lead by example, showing employees that their own health should not be ignored. Fourth, provide access to an employee assistance program, or EAP, which offers confidential professional support for personal, emotional, or workplace concerns. Fifth, set clear remote work boundaries to reduce the pressure on staff to remain online while they are unwell. Finally, run regular well-being surveys and workplace health checks to identify emerging concerns before they affect long-term health or performance. Leadership behavior is particularly critical. Employees take direct cues from how managers respond to illness, fatigue, and personal well-being. When leaders work while visibly unwell or avoid taking leave themselves, they unintentionally signal to their team that they are expected to do the same. A healthy culture actively supports recovery and recognizes that taking leave when needed is a normal part of maintaining professional well-being. Conversely, some managers unintentionally encourage presenteeism by praising employees who never take a sick day, or by contacting staff repeatedly during their leave. These actions create an unhealthy pressure to remain constantly available. Managers must avoid equating absence with a lack of commitment, and instead work to address high workloads, limited support systems, and unclear expectations. This is why proactive measures like workplace health checks are so important. Many organizations only notice health concerns after performance drops significantly or when an employee enters an extended period of leave. A workplace health check can identify fatigue, stress, musculoskeletal concerns, and broader health risks much earlier, giving employers an opportunity to respond before the issues become harder to manage. If you are worried that presenteeism may be affecting your team, a workplace health check can help identify these risks early and strengthen your well-being programs. You can speak directly to the team at Oz Rehab by calling 1-300-391-947. It is also important to consider where workplace rehabilitation fits in when illness transitions into a more formal injury. Presenteeism does not always result in an injury, but the risk increases dramatically when employees continue working through pain, fatigue, stress, or illness without appropriate support. Over time, reduced concentration leads to workplace errors, ongoing physical strain can aggravate existing musculoskeletal symptoms, and persistent stress can contribute directly to burnout or psychological injury. Workplace rehabilitation plays a vital role here. Providing support early helps address barriers to recovery before they permanently affect work capacity or lead to an extended, costly absence. For case managers and insurers, unmanaged presenteeism should be viewed as a clear early warning sign. Workplace health checks, ergonomics training, and manual handling training are practical tools that identify risks before they escalate. Clear, open coordination between employers, treating doctors, insurers, and rehabilitation providers always supports better recovery outcomes. Let us look at how small health issues can be prevented from becoming long-term absences through targeted support. Workplace health checks identify health and well-being risks proactively and on an ongoing basis. Ergonomics training identifies physical stressor and reduces strain risks, especially during role changes or remote work setups. Manual handling training builds safer physical practices and reduces musculoskeletal injury risks before an injury occurs. Return to work planning supports a safe transition into suitable duties at the first signs of difficulty. Early intervention support addresses concerns before they lead to long-term absence, as soon as a risk appears. Finally, ongoing coordination with workers' compensation GPs, employers, and insurers improves communication and recovery planning throughout the entire rehabilitation process. Workplace rehabilitation is not just about returning to work after an injury has occurred. It is a proactive approach to identify risks early, support recovery, and prevent smaller concerns from becoming long-term, debilitating problems. The sooner a health concern is identified, the greater the opportunity to maintain work capacity and reduce long-term absence. Effective return to work planning focuses on sustainable, durable recovery, aligning with the worker's current capacity and providing structured support throughout the process. Oz Rehab works closely with employees, employers, treating professionals, and insurers to support recovery and maintain work capacity. Our workplace rehabilitation services focus on practical strategies that prevent injury escalation and support safe, sustainable work participation. Our key services include workplace health checks to identify emerging concerns early, ergonomics training to improve workstation setups across office and hybrid environments, manual handling training to reduce musculoskeletal risks, return to work planning to structure suitable duties during recovery, and early intervention support to address emerging issues before they develop into long-term claims. Ultimately, looking after your health is not a sign of weakness. The employee who always pushes through illness is usually trying to do the right thing, but working through pain, fatigue, stress, or illness is not always the safest or most productive choice. Early action protects health, maintains long-term capacity, and prevents minor concerns from escalating. If you have been pushing through symptoms at work, or if you are concerned about someone in your team, taking a closer look can make all the difference. A workplace health check can identify risks early and support well-being before health, productivity, or recovery are compromised. You can contact Oz Rehab today by calling 1-300-391-947, emailing office at ozrehab.com, or visiting our website. To wrap up, let us address some of the most frequently asked questions regarding presenteeism. First, is presenteeism worse than absenteeism? Often, yes. While absenteeism creates a highly visible, short-term absence, presenteeism remains hidden, quietly reducing performance and delaying recovery. Economic research consistently indicates that the long-term cost of presenteeism exceeds that of absenteeism for many health conditions. Second, why do employees come to work sick? They typically do so due to financial pressure, heavy workloads, job insecurity, staffing shortages, or a sincere concern about letting their colleagues, clients, or patients down. Leadership behavior and a workplace culture that subtly discourages absence also play major roles. Third, how does presenteeism affect workplace productivity? It reduces concentration, slows down decision-making, increases mistakes, and delays task completion. It can also worsen the underlying health condition, leading to lower work capacity or a much longer, unplanned absence later on. Fourth, how does mental health contribute to presenteeism? Mental health conditions are often invisible. Workers may keep working through anxiety, depression, stress, or burnout because of societal stigma or a fear of asking for support. While work can support recovery for some, for others, a stressful workplace can worsen symptoms. Fifth, how can employers reduce presenteeism? Employers can achieve this by documenting clear sick leave policies, explaining leave entitlements, leading by example, providing confidential employee assistance programs, setting firm remote work boundaries, and utilizing well-being surveys and workplace health checks. Sixth, what are the warning signs of presenteeism? Warning signs include reduced concentration, a rise in mistakes, noticeable fatigue, missed deadlines, social withdrawal, working unusually long hours, or a sudden drop in work quality. Frequent, highly visible online activity while unwell is also a key indicator of digital presenteeism. Seventh, when should workplace health checks be considered? They should be considered when fatigue, stress, physical discomfort, or recurring health issues begin affecting employees. Employers can also use these checks proactively to identify risks before productivity falls or an extended absence begins. Eighth, can workplace rehabilitation help prevent long-term absence? Yes, absolutely. Workplace rehabilitation identifies barriers early and supports suitable duties, workplace adjustments, treatment coordination, and gradual return to work planning to prevent manageable concerns from turning into lengthy absences. Ninth, how can Oz Rehab support workplace well-being? Oz Rehab supports organizations through tailored health checks, ergonomic training, manual handling training, early intervention, and return to work planning. These services are designed to identify risks early and support safe recovery. Finally, how much does presenteeism cost Australian businesses? While there is no single figure covering all forms of presenteeism, an Australian Institute of Health and Welfare review cited a historical estimate of $34.1 billion for Australia. Additionally, Safe Work Australia has estimated that depression-related absenteeism and presenteeism alone cost the economy approximately $6.3 billion annually. Thank you for listening. We hope you learned something useful today. For more information, visit ozrehab.com.